The scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. John 1, 35 to 42. Listen to the word of the Lord. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Most of you might still vividly remember the democracy movement in China in 1989. And particularly, you might still remember that iconic picture of the so-called tent man. A protester standing in front of a series of tanks, the military tanks, the Tiananmen Square. Now, the movement failed. As we all know, many of those dissidents were exiled. Among them was a scholar named Zhi Ming Yuan. In Chinese, it would be Yuan Zhiming, who was exiled to France. But Princeton University brought him to the United States as a visiting scholar. The Chinese student Bible study group at Princeton tried to invite him to join their Bible study. Yuan refused to go there, thinking religion was an outdated concept. Being a scholar of philosophy, he felt religion to be superstitious and even repulsive. His interest was how to turn China into a democracy and what he could learn from America, the secret of establishing a lasting democracy. Religion was the last thing he believed would help him accomplish it. After all, growing up in China, he had learned the Marxism. Karl Marx used to say, "Religion is the opium of the people." As he got to know more and more Chinese students there, at their relentless persuasion and invitation, he finally visited the student Bible study group. Even though he had no interest in what they are studying, which is the Bible, he found the fellowship fascinating. He observed that the people there seemed to be very happy, and there seemed to be an indescribable inner joy in them that showed up on their faces. The attitudes and the positive appearance of those Christians sparked an interest in his mind. Why are those people so happy? What about Jesus Christ that made these people so filled with joy? He was not talking about the superficial outward joy that sometimes we display, but the mysterious, hope-filled, internal joy that reflected on their countenance. The appearance of those Christians triggered his first curiosity of the Bible. However, in his mind, he still believed Christianity is an outdated idea and inferior to philosophy. Later, he was invited by President George H.W. Bush, we call him the old Bush, to a breakfast gathering at the White House. Many people gathered there at the table waiting for the arrival of the president. When Bush entered the room, people stood up and cheered with applause. That was expected in his mind. But after him, another man entered the room, and the cheer was even louder and more joyous. He bent over to his neighbor and asked who this was. And he was told that it was Reverend Billy Graham. He was totally puzzled. Why in the world a religious leader could be more popular than president in this most developed country? He thought America, being the most advanced country in the world, we would have completely eliminated religion from, at least from the political scene. After the breakfast at the, you know, at the White House, he came back with stronger curiosity about Christianity. For the first time, he questioned whether communism failed because they obliterated religion. For the first time, he began to suspect the secret ingredient of success of American democracy could be in Christianity. He decided to join the Bible Study Fellowship and did some research on his own. To make the long story short, he not only became a Christian, he was baptized, but also later joined the seminary and now became a famous minister among Chinese Christian communities around the world. But I'm telling you this story to consider how a person can be profoundly transformed by a simple invitation. Come and see. In John 1, 35 to 42 that we read today, Jesus recruited his first disciples by simply saying, come and see. At first, two disciples of John the Baptist started following Jesus, and Jesus turned around and asked them, what are you looking for? They said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Jesus didn't make a philosophical argument or a theological debate with them. He simply said, come and see. Now, one might think Jesus would have used his divine persuasion with glamorous language skill to convince some people to become his first disciples. Later, Philip found Nathanael and told him that he had found the Messiah, who is the Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth? Nathanael didn't think much of Jesus based on where he was from. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Another come and see, but this time it's not by Jesus, but by Philip, one of his first disciples, recruiting another disciple. Philip might have learned from Jesus a straight and simple come and see invitation. Nathanael wanted to make a sociological, political, or historical debate. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It sounds discriminatory and condescending. Historically, he was correct. There had never been a famous person that came out of Nazareth. To him, there's no way for someone as important as the Messiah to rise out of that little town. Philip refused to debate him. He just said, come and see. and the rest is history. Sometimes I think we make evangelism too complicated. All we have to do is invite people to come and see. The question is, see what? In this context, John invited people to see Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. The Bible says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We might not appreciate the term the Lamb of God as deeply as the first century people. For them, it is a vivid picture of redemption from the enslavement of sin, from the suffering of this world. By pointing Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, John wants us to come and see four important actions of God. You know, I put it in acrostic in the word Lamb, so L-A-M-B, L for love. The first act of God we must see in Jesus Christ is love. Jesus is God's love embodied. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." To know Jesus is to know God's love. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus means everything to God. And giving him to us means God's love to us is sacrificial. God holds nothing behind. To see the love in Jesus is the enlightenment itself. It is what Jesus wants you to come and see. See his love. Seeing and understanding his love will transform your life forever. You know, people will see happiness on your face. They will feel joy on your attitude. We need to see the second deed of God, that is atonement. John said, "The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." Sin means missing the mark. We all have missed the mark, and we all have fallen short. And our imperfection separates us from God. The Bible says that the wage of sin is death. A lamb is used in ancient time as a sacrifice to atone for people's sin. It died on behalf of them. However, animal sacrifice is only a symbol of repentance. It could not really cleanse our sin. But it was a prophetic ritual of believing that one day a true sacrifice will come. Now this true Lamb of God has arrived, according to John the Baptist. That's why his disciples started to follow him. This true Lamb of God has come to take away our sin once and for good. Atonement is God's grace. The moment we see it, we are a different person. We can live with joy because our burden of guilt is removed. That's why we see an indescribable joy on the faces of Christians. Come and see the atonement. The third deed of God we must see is God's mercy. Grace and mercy are subtly different. Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. For example, we don't deserve God's forgiveness, but God still gives it to us. That's grace. Mercy is not giving what we deserve. We deserve a punishment for our sin, but God doesn't give it to us. God withholds the punishment. That's mercy. When Jesus taught Peter that he must forgive 77 times, that's mercy. Come and see the mercy in Jesus Christ. The moment you see God's mercy, you understand how to forgive others, how to release others from your burden of grudges that will make you joyful deep inside. So no wonder Christians have an indescribable sense of joy in spite of all the challenges and difficulties and suffering in this world. The last one is belonging. the fourth thing you need to see in Jesus Christ is your spiritual family, a place where you belong. John said, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Jesus brings you into God's family, and you now have a sense of belonging. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? Don't you think it was interesting? Jesus asked them what they were looking for. You might think they would say, we are looking for your teaching, or we are looking for the Messiah. We are looking for the evidence that you are the right person. But they said, where are you staying? It implies that they are looking for a belonging. They want to belong to the Messiah. They trust their teacher, John the Baptist, believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Lamb of God. So they want to belong to it. Deep inside our soul, we are like vagabonds looking for a place to belong. Just as St. Augustine said, our heart is restless until it rests in you. Jesus answered them, come and see. That is where you belong. So in this new year, we need to renew our commitment as disciples of Jesus Christ to invite people to come and see. However, before you invite others to come and see, we must see it first. Coming and seeing are two different things. We have come, but have we seen? Do you see the Lamb? Do you see God's love? Do you see the atonement? Do you see the mercy? Do you see your belonging? If you do, ask others to come and see. No need to elaborate. Just come and see. We cannot make them see. We can invite them to come. It's God's job for them to see, but we can invite them to come. However, if we see, it will show a sense of joy on our face. They will begin to be curious about Jesus Christ, because everyone wants to have that contagious, infectious joy of seeing. So let us remember Jesus' invitation, come and see. Remember Philip's invitation or imitation, come and see. Let us all imitate Christ by inviting others to come and see. May God bless you all. Amen.